From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Psalm 38 and verse 21. Forsake me not, O Lord. Frequently we pray that God would not forsake us in the hour of trial and temptation, but we too much forget that we have need to use this prayer at all times. There is no moment of our life, however holy, in which we can do without His constant upholding. Whether in light or in darkness, in communion or in temptation, we alike need the prayer, Forsake me not, O Lord. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. A little child, while learning to walk, always needs the nurse's aid. The ship left by the pilot drifts at once from her course. We cannot do without continued aid from above. Let it then be your prayer today, Forsake me not. Father, forsake not thy child, lest he fall by the hand of the enemy. Shepherd, forsake not thy lamb, lest he wander from the safety of the fold. Great husbandman, forsake not thy plant, lest it wither and die. Forsake me not, O Lord, now, and forsake me not at any moment of my life. Forsake me not in my joys, lest they absorb my heart. Forsake me not in my sorrows, lest I murmur against thee. Forsake me not in the day of my repentance, lest I lose the hope of pardon and fall into despair. And forsake me not in the day of my strongest faith, lest faith degenerate into presumption. Forsake me not, for without thee I am weak, but with thee I am strong. Forsake me not, for my path is dangerous and full of snares, and I cannot do without thy guidance. The hen forsakes not her brood. Do thou then evermore cover me with thy feathers, and permit me under thy wings to find my refuge. Be not far from me, O Lord, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. O ever in our cleansed breast, bid thine eternal spirit rest, and make our secret soul to be a temple pure and worthy thee.
Yeah.
often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet, what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Each CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The current message is called A Worthy Goal for Every Year, and although it was preached on New Year's Day of 2006, its truths remain applicable for every day of every year. The text is chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers. In expounding this marvelous prayer, Dr. Cairns has been setting forth a series of goals which ought to characterize the life of every child of God. He has emphasized the need for progress in the Christian life. In addition, there is the seeking after the fullness which God desires for his people. Then, Paul prayed that those believers might live holy lives, separated from the wickedness all around them. He desired them to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. In other words, the chief end of the Christian's life should be to live in the center of God's will, pleasing the Lord rather than men. In this final portion of the message, Dr. Cairns explains how to achieve these worthy goals. The secret is spending time with God in his word and in prayer. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Let me ask you, are you walking in a manner that is worthy of him? Unto all pleasing, that is in a manner and with a view to pleasing him in all things. Pleasing him in your private life when there's not an eye upon you. Pleasing him in your home life. Pleasing him in your business life. Pleasing him in your words, your thoughts, your actions. Pleasing God in every area. Contrast what Paul says later in this epistle in chapter 3, verse 22. Where he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. And the word men pleasers is the same root as this word that we are looking at now, pleasing him in all things. The men pleasers can mean putting on a show. And that's not what you're to do. Hypocrisy is the enemy of Christianity. But the word in classical Greek usage is interesting. This man pleasers has the idea of cravenly bowing before someone, giving obsequious obedience to someone. And the command is, don't cower before the world. Don't play the coward. Don't bow the knee to the world. But set out by the grace of God this year and each year, this day and each day, set out to please God in Christ in every area. No matter what the world may think or no matter what the world may say. He says, his will is holiness, knowing the will of God. Holiness, walking before God. And then holiness in your work for God. Verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. That is, increasing in your productivity for God. And increasing in your fruitfulness in the work of God. Now that's the goal. I leave it with you. And I will simply say that if you look at verses 10, the last line of verse 10 through 11 and into 12, Paul tells you how to reach there by knowing God more and more fully. Knowing the Lord, that's spending time with him. That's meditating on his word. By experiencing his power to strengthen us. You say, preacher, I can't do these things. You're dead right, you can't. Neither can I. But you can be strengthened, according to verse 11, with all might, according to his glorious power. And as a result, you'll be able to patiently endure whatever comes your way this year.
Before I went to sleep last night, I was thinking, we've just entered a new year. What will this year bring? And I thought, whatever it may be, life or death, health or sickness, gain or loss, whatever it may be, this year will bring nothing but what the all-wise providence and goodness and purpose of our Father in heaven has decreed. He does all things well. And with that knowledge strengthening us, we can patiently endure and have the joy of the Lord despite our trials. The joy of the Lord does not necessarily eradicate our trials and our sufferings, but it gives us the inner light, the inner glow, the inner pleasure, so that we can say with Paul, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. And therefore we will live, as verse 12 says, with a spirit of thankfulness because of what the Lord has done. And there's a beautiful statement here that I leave you to think about. He has made us meet. He has qualified us ultimately for heaven. Can you imagine that? Qualified for communion with God. Qualified for entrance to the throne. Qualified for a place in glory. I'm qualified for heaven. And all of grace. Think of it. What is it that qualifies a person for a place at God's right hand? It's the very righteousness that took Christ there. And that's what God has imputed to all his people. Believing in him, that's what qualifies us for glory. We can certainly be thankful for what he has done and for what he's going to do, for we have an inheritance of the saints in light. That lot which is the portion of the saints in light. Now, it's ours now. We're a wee bit like the son of a very rich man. And we have an inheritance in trust for us. The billions are still, when we reach our majority. But at the moment, we're more than comfortably looked after. We are already enjoying the first fruits of that inheritance. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. But we're going home to glory, to the fullness of that inheritance of the saints in light. Now, friends, here is the goal. For you, this can be your life this year. It can be my life this year. It can be the life of this church this year, because this is a realistic goal. As I thought of this last night, I coined a line that I think I'll try to remember for future use. Growth is attainable because grace is available. Whatever comes this year, there's grace. And because grace is available, growth is attainable. Now, Paul prayed, Lord, let these people make progress. Let these people enjoy fullness. Lord, let these people live in holiness. This was his prayer. Let us make it our prayer. And the same Lord who is rich over all unto all that call upon him will hear us pray for ourselves as he heard Paul pray for others. A worthy goal. May the Lord set that goal before you this morning. And by his grace, may we all live to see it fulfilled. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. How we thank thee that there is grace, and that we may therefore grow. Oh, we want to make progress. Take us forward. Lord, let us not stall or stagnate. Take us forward, onward, still and upward. Gracious God, we pray that as a church we'll make progress this day, this week, this month, this year, and we'll keep on making progress. Lord, bless our individual lives. Bless our families. Oh, what progress we need to see there. Lord, we need to see every family completed in Christ. We need to see fathers and mothers living their lives in the fullness of Christ, in the holiness that grace alone enables. Lord, we pray, bless our families. We commend this all to thee. Lord, we ask thee indeed that we may be filled with the very fullness of the knowledge of our God and of his will, so that we may walk before thee unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened according to God's or Christ's glorious power, to be able to endure with joy and give thanks in the prospect of eternal glory. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people. We ask these things in Jesus' name and through the merits of his precious blood. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.